Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello! Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all together, y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over everything.
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown, I've officially joined the Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show. Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Beast of the Planet, it's Friday!
Yes, it's Friday. The weekend is here.
The weekend is finally here. And I'm going to tell you what I hate. I hate walking into the studio, okay, and hearing this pessimistic cameraman we have named Steve.
What'd he say?
Complain about nobody getting his sense of humor. Maybe you're just not funny.
That could be it.
That, come on. You ever thought about that, Steve? Did that ever cross your mind?
And we're always nervous that Steve is going to do something crazy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He's definitely the type. He fits the profile.
He definitely fits the profile.
I might flip out.
He might flip out.
He might have just flipped out.
And something's wrong. He's just very... Is self-loathing the right word?
Self-deprecating. Do you have that one person at work that's always negative? Negative Nancy.
I come in, it's Friday, I feel good, I'm happy.
Sour Steve.
Smokey Robinson's going to be on the show this morning, and here comes Steve talking about, don't you hate when people don't get your jokes? No, Steve, I don't.
It
I don't care.
It wasn't funny.
Maybe
you
just weren't funny. Yeah.
All right, well, like you said, Smokey Robinson will be joining us this morning.
Yes, he will. Tell your horny-ass grandma to get ready.
And your mama.
Nah, mama's too young for Smokey.
Some of their mamas out there.
I don't know. That's grandma. Smokey's 76, bro.
First of all, everybody loves Smokey, though.
Smokey lived
through... They know my girl.
Smokey lived through segregation.
My girl, talking about They know my girl.
They know it, but to be in love with Smokey, to really appreciate that beige skin and them green eyes, you got to be somebody great, grandma or grandma.
I tried to do a Smokey mix, but they shut me down.
What is a Smokey mix?
Smokey Robinson, some of the records he did that were big.
Some of his huge songs.
Yes.
How? How was you going to do that?
What you mean, how? His songs are still out now. They still use him in commercials all the time.
My Girl, Cruising. What else?
Tears of a Clown.
Tears of a Clown. All right. All right.
They said no. They said
just
not.
To see her.
WBLS, the best.
Being with you. I took my mom to see Smokey Robinson.
I just want to play a couple of cuts so people know what he, you know, the songs he made.
Let me tell you something. I took my mom to see Smokey Robinson. She was so excited.
That's the demographic.
And there were a lot of songs that I was like, oh, I forgot Smokey did this song. Oh, that's Smokey Robinson.
Don't them old ladies be throwing their panties at Smokey, don't they?
They don't do that anymore.
That's some big draws going up there, boy.
Diapers.
You guys are disrespectful.
Well, Smokey will be joining us. You should start Googling now to hear his music.
Listen, your mama
I can't play it.
Your mama know who they is. Your daddy know who he is. Your granddaddy know who he is. Your grandma know who he is. You should know who he is. If you don't, you're going to learn today.
If you never saw the Temptations movie, I mean.
Come on. They didn't see that.
Who didn't see it? It comes on TV all the time.
David Ruffin them?
I don't think people see that.
I tell kids
Are
all the time,
serious?
Though.
Yes.
You have to learn, okay? Sometimes.
You guys do your Googles.
Sit down with the elders
you
and
guys,
listen
can
to
you
the elders
please
talk.
Tweet Charlamagne and Envy and let them know that, yes, you know who Smokey Robinson is, and yes, you
I'm
have
sure
seen the Temptations
I'm sure
movie.
Some people do, but I'm sure a lot of people
ridiculous.
Don't.
That's ridiculous.
I never assume everybody knows everything. Like, that's just ridiculous.
There's
ridiculous
some people
way to
that
think.
Are legends, though. Like, you think people
He's
don't
definitely
know?
A legend.
I mean.
Definitely a legend.
A well, lot of legends these kids don't
respect.
Know either.
Well, he's father.
People know Diana Ross. They know Aretha Franklin.
I bet you know this generation know Tracy Ellis Ross more than they know Diana.
That's fine, but
That's
I think
true.
People know who they are.
Maybe.
I wouldn't say they don't know who that is.
Well, he's the father of all light skin out there, so he'll
he
be joining
is.
Us this morning.
The king of all waffle-colored Negroes. The khaki-colored king.
That's right.
Charlamagne tried to slip a question in because he thinks that Envy just reads whatever's on the sheet in front of him.
I did.
So we put a question on DJ Envy's notes.
I told Envy that Smokey Robinson, Nicole Richie was Smokey Robinson's daughter. I thought he was going to.
You thought he was going to ask a question, but he caught it.
I was like, well, who wrote this question? This question is dumb for dweebs. Anyway, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Yes, we will talk about President Obama. His personal email is among WikiLeaks' document dump.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, last night in Thursday Night Football, the Packers beat the Bears 26-10. Now, the Cubs beat the Dodgers 8-4 to lead the series 3-2. Now, Trump and Hillary were at dinner together?
Well, it's a charity
I
dinner.
Know.
It's a tradition. All right, and normally it's not the two candidates going at each other, but last night that's pretty much what it was with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Check it out.
Donald wanted me drug tested before last night's debate. And look, I got to tell you, I am so flattered that Donald thought I used some sort of performance enhancer. It's called preparation. And looking back, I've had to listen to Donald for 3 full debates. And he says, I don't have any stamina. I have now stood next to Donald Trump longer than any of his campaign managers.
She threw some good jokes out there.
Yeah, Donald Trump's jokes are really harsh, though, I feel like, because he's just...
Because he's offensive. He's already has the perception of being offensive, so nothing he said sounds funny. Like, even if he's just trying to be funny, it still sounds like just straight-up offensive.
Sounds nasty.
That's why. That's all it is.
Do we have anything from Donald Trump?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
I called Hillary a nasty woman, but this stuff is all relative. After listening to Hillary rattle on, I don't think so badly of Rosie O'Donnell anymore. I'm actually starting to like Rosie a lot. And I got the chance to meet the people who are working so hard to get her elected. The heads of NBC, CNN, there's the New York Times right over there, and the Washington Post. They're working overtime.
One thing about Donald Trump, he is consistent. He's unapologetically a douche at all times.
Absolutely.
Okay, he never strays away from the douchiness of being Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely, positively who he is.
Now, what info leaked yesterday?
Well, they said some of Obama's personal emails are among these WikiLeaks documents. And the email address that was listed is bobama@ameritech.net. It's from the period immediately before his election as president when he still had his BlackBerry. So
what the hell is Ameritech?
I don't know. I guess it's a place where he worked.
Man.
I don't know.
That must be something that only government officials got on Ameritech.
Now, these emails were not hacked from White House servers, but as part of a wider hack of these emails that were published by WikiLeaks. Now, CNN cannot confirm the authenticity, but they have not challenged any emails and other WikiLeaks releases like Hillary Clinton's emails, so people feel like this is, you know.
I wonder what kind of storage Barack Obama got in his email. Because you know how you, got Gmail accounts?
Storage.
Yeah, and we all, like, we're always almost out of storage. I wonder if he got, like, unlimited storage.
I wonder if people send him music.
You know
music.
That, right?
You say what?
I wonder if people send him music. Like,
no.
How they send us music all the time. Like,
absolutely
yo,
not.
President Obama, check out this track.
Barack Obama has no idea what a SoundCloud is.
No.
Absolutely. But
he has playlists on Spotify. I don't know.
If you ask Barack what SoundCloud is, he'll say call NASA.
I think he knows.
What is these new clouds that are forming?
Well, you know you could pay for storage, right? You know you could pay for extra storage so you have enough for it so it doesn't say.
I ain't got time for extra bills. I got $0 in my checking account right now.
That's a lot.
I ain't got time for that.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051.
-530, matter of fact.
You are lying. Tell them why you're mad. If you're upset, you need to vent. Maybe you have a negative in your account. 800-585-1051. Maybe you need to vent. Maybe you're pissed off. Whatever it may be, call us up right now. Vent live on air. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, this is DMX. And you know what makes me mad? Ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell them why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hello, who's this?
This is Aletha in North Carolina.
Good morning, mama. Why are you mad this morning?
I'm mad because I'm waiting for my brothers to stand up and pull some of our young women back and say, look at here, sis, you too good for that. We have our women actually throwing their you-know-what up into the camera, swinging all around poles for a song or a commercial or whatever. We've always respected our men, regardless of what we might say out of our face. And what you all say goes. Really, ultimately. And if a brother would really stand up and say, sis, look, no, that, you know, it's good that you look good and all that, but you don't have to show every bump your mama gave you.
By the way, you're absolutely right, but guys have been doing that in the script club for years. You know how many times you done pull scripts to the side and say, baby, you don't have to be here. Come on. I can
but
take
see, they're
care
all
of you,
up on the camera now, in the faces, in the commercials. They're actual you-know-what in the camera, just like that man Trump is saying. What more can we expect if this is what we're presenting? I mean, you know, there's a place for everything. I understand that. People like to get off whatever way they get off. I was young one time. I understand.
You was young one time, baby. You used to show your ass, too. You
and I don't think that's the only representation that we have.
Belly buttons just started. You know, honey, I got me some of them low-riding, hip-hugging kind of things.
How old are you, Mama?
Because that came from Bush. The end of the day, I hate that. That's so overdone now.
Old lady, you can't hear us, baby.
How old are you, Mama?
I don't tell my age. That's a big problem with me down here because everybody down here is, I'm so-and-so, and I'm 29 and 84. And I feel like, it's your business, okay? I'm
whatever age
I feel like today.
Baby. Grandma.
Like 40.
Grandma.
Okay, just let her go. Let her go.
Hey, Smokey Robinson going to be on next hour, Grandma. Just
I
for you.
I love him. Thank you.
Of course you
I
do.
I love you guys. I've been trying to get through for so long, but I didn't have all this to say then. God knows what to do and when to do it.
There you go.
All right, you have a great weekend.
God is everything.
The rotary phones was hard to get through. Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, bro? It's Jay.
Jay, tell him why you mad, bro.
Hey, yo, can I spit some bars for you guys?
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Yes, come on, let's hear it.
I promise you'll like it.
Let's go.
I don't want to hear these.
You better get into it right now.
Bars, bro.
Yo, check this. My boy Charlamagne's a jerk, but that's okay. I'd rather have a real jerk than a phony any day. My boy DJ Envy be getting the crowd up in the air like them hats at graduation that the graduates wear.
Oh!
Last but not least, Angela Yee. I love you, boo. You got such a good heart. You make anybody melt on the inside like a Pop-Tart. But I'm going to let y'all go because I know y'all got a show to do.
There you go. Bars, bars, bars.
Fart on his bars, please.
No, I'm going too far.
I need a lot of
bars.
Ass gas.
You need to be a ghostwriter to somebody.
I need at least 3 to 4 ass gases letting off right now.
That's bars.
Fart on his bars.
Bars.
Nope. Yep.
Bars. All right. Tell them why you mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can call us at any time. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Drake, Controller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, again, Smokey Robinson will be joining us next hour. He's the king of all light-skinned men.
He is definitely the king of all khaki-colored Negroes. All horny-ass grandmas tune in at 7.
And mamas.
You ain't had that feeling in your stomach. The mamas got to be late 50s in their 60s, bruh, to really appreciate Smokey.
Yeah.
to really appreciate Smokey and love him the way... Put it like this. All you girls that love the Drakes now and the Trey songs, when y'all like 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s,
right.
That's how your mom and them feel about Smokey right now. That was he was the original hot dog. I text my mom a picture with Smokey, and she goes, Smokey! That's her text. Smokey, real talent. That's what she texts back.
My mom asked for an autograph. I said, Mom, they don't do autographs anymore. I said, there's
nothing
to sign.
Yeah, that's what we got pictures for, Mom.
Yeah, that's what we got pictures for, Mom.
And just last year, BET gave him the Lifetime Achievement Award also. Mm-hmm.
That's what somebody just told us on Twitter. They say, I mean, I know Smokey because of the award shows and My Girl.
And he wrote My Girl.
Girl.
Right. Yes, he actually wrote lots, like 4,000 songs in his career.
And salute to Redhead Diva on Twitter. She said that Ameritech, that email that Barack Obama has, she said that was actually their phone company in Chicago, like AT&T.
Oh, okay.
So that definitely probably was Barack Obama's email.
Right.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, let's talk about Kanye versus Jay-Z. Where did this all go wrong? We'll tell you what the update is. A little crazy. I never expected this.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Kanye West was performing in Seattle at the Key Arena, and he had some things to say about Apple versus Tidal, about different albums, about Watch the Throne, about his relationship with Jay-Z. Here's how it started when he talks about the album Pop Style.
I start freestyling to it. Jay thought of a couple lines. I said, man, just go ahead and throw that on there. And I'm just so surprised. And we sent it back to him. And he's like, oh, the throne is on this. Then Jay thought about it out of respect for Meek Mill. He didn't want to be on the track. Then I said, look, I'll call Drake. I'll call Meek. I'll call y'all. We got to squash the out that people had this song. But then it went out of that territory. It went into about percentages on songs. I can't take this, bro.
All right, so he's trying to get Jay-Z on the Pop Style song on Drake's album, and I guess because of respect for Meek Mill, Jay-Z couldn't do it or something.
Jay gave him a bar or two on that record? Like, yeah. What's the difference?
All right, well, he goes on to talk about Watch the Throne and issues with that and Apple versus Tidal. Here's what he had to say.
And let me tell y'all something. There will never be a Watch the Throne 2. You know why? Because that's the reason why I wasn't on the song. I wasn't on the song for the whole. Because it's a title Apple bullshit. And this shit get me tight every time I perform this motherfucker. So y'all didn't get what y'all was supposed to get when me and Drake on this song because it's a title Apple bullshit.
I don't understand how that makes sense, though, because it's not going to be a Watch the Throne 2, but it's going to be an album with you and Drake. Ain't Drake on Apple and you with Tidal, so what's the difference?
Right.
Like, I don't get it. Wouldn't it make more sense for him to do a Watch the Throne 2 with Jay because they're both through Tidal? Like, I don't understand how the Apple Tidal beef comes into play with that.
I don't know.
Especially if you and Drake are planning on doing an album.
But the real situation, it seems like, is also what he had to say right here about his relationship with Jay-Z.
Call me after the robbery. Say how you feeling. You want to know how I'm feeling? Come by the house. Like me brothers. Let's sing that next one.
First of all,
he's a little mad.
Is there any more?
Well, he just... He said our kids ain't even never played together.
Listen, man, friends don't air out friends publicly. Same way you wanted Jay to come by your crib, you know, after the robbery. If you had an issue, you could have called him and told him you had an issue. Okay? I mean, and didn't he say Jay called him?
Yeah, he said he wanted him to come by.
So,
wanted him to come over, I guess. He felt like,
and check on him,
if we're friends, come over.
He called. Listen, I truly feel sorry for what happened to Kim Kardashian, and I wouldn't wish that on nobody. But what you want Jay to do, bring you some soup? Like Jay from Marcy, if he had to visit every friend and family member he knows that got robbed, he wouldn't have time to be Jay-Z. Like, he called you. Like, what more do you want? Like, am I missing something?
But beyond that, if we are friends, don't talk about it in public.
Yeah, we're not listen, friends do
call
not air
me.
Out friends publicly.
Homie, yo, I feel away. Why don't you come see me, my G? You could have came and seen
it
me.
It would mean a lot to me and the wife if you came by.
Word up.
Personally.
Call the phone. Send a text or email.
Man.
You don't air it out for the public to see. Friends do not air out friends publicly. It's hard to come back from that, bro. It's hard to come back from that.
But well, I see that a lot. That's not stand-up people. Stand-up people don't talk about friends in public.
I don't agree with that.
Well, I was reading page 6, right, and in the New York Post, and according to a source, it said Jay-Z is just sick of Kanye West after that rant especially. Their friendship was never really what it seemed. Jay really can't take him in large doses, only in small doses he can tolerate him. And when they did Watch the Throne, they went on tour, and there was just a lot of money to be made. So he said, I'm going to knock this out. I can tolerate him for that period of time because it's business, but he doesn't really like to be around him too much.
I can see that.
Because they're very different. Jay-Z just doesn't want to have everybody in his circle. He's very private. He likes his space, and Kanye likes to be in the spotlight.
Yeah, I love Kanye. I love his passion, but nah, bro. Friends don't air out friends publicly, period.
Okay. Now, Ciara has dropped her defamation lawsuit against Future, so that's good news. Now, we already told you the judge already said that they haven't seen how she's been damaged. Her career has been damaged by his words against her, so it already didn't seem like she was going to win that defamation lawsuit, but now it seems that she's dropped that whole lawsuit. She hasn't suffered financially, and the other rumor is, of course, that she's pregnant. All right, E! News is reporting that the happy couple is expecting a child. So Ciara and Russell Wilson are allegedly expecting a child. According to E! News,
got him!
Ciara is pregnant, and she's so excited to be a mom
again.
Congrats
to them.
And her and Russell Wilson would like to have 2 to 3 children. They both would like a big family.
Got him! Drop one of Clues Bob for Ciara, goddammit. What's how many Russell Simmons contract? Crazy, too. Hold on, let me see.
It was Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
My dumb ass damn sure Googled Russell Simmons just now.
Russell Wilson.
Russell Simmons. I mean, Russell Wilson got a net worth of how much money?
All right, let's see let if you
see. Do it. Let me see. $87.6 million. Okay.
Look up Future's net worth. I just want to see.
No need. No need to do that. Russell Wilson did a 4-year deal, $87.6 million in 2015. The deal includes a $31 million signing bonus and guaranteed money of over $61 million. Drop on the Clues Bombs for Ciara. Ciara, you don't never, ever, ever have to whisper over another record a day in your life.
She enjoys it. Leave her alone.
You don't ever have to screech over another record a day in your life. You are good out here. You hear
me? And you don't have to worry about Charlamagne ever trying to slander you again, because all you got to do is throw some money in the air. Put it on the gram.
What?
You go in on her all the time. She's
I'm happy
good.
For her now. She won. She won that life.
She can make she whatever won. Music she wants to do.
No, she can't. No, she can't. No, she can't. Now she's just wasting her time. No,
right.
She can't.
Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss
I'm
E.
truly happy for Ciara.
No, you're not.
I really
no,
am.
Not.
She won at life.
She
okay?
didn't win. She's a
She's
song
married
artist.
To
she's
a
gonna,
man who has guaranteed
music.
Money of $61 million, and she's about to have
that
baby.
They're in love, and okay. she still loves music. She's right. a model. She does a lot of
yes,
things.
Yes, she is. Drop one of Clues Bomb for her Revlon thing, okay?
Yep, she just signed on.
All right.
The
she's winning in every
Revlon.
Facet of life except for music, and that's fine.
Oh, my
All
goodness.
Right.
All right.
Wow, Ciara's net worth is $18 million.
And that's
yeah,
going to go up
she
now.
Got, ever since ever soon as she became 2 weeks pregnant, that's when that net worth went up.
That went up to
that,
half
that, that net worth
million.
Was a half a million 2 weeks ago.
Shut up, man.
It was $15 million before that.
Okay, believe that if you want to.
All right. Now, when we come back.
Happy 3 years, by the way, to Revolt.
Okay.
They've been begging me to say that
Let me look
at
Revolt's net worth. Hold on.
They've been begging me to say that all
morning. It's going to be negative.
Revolt's
there
net
you go.
Worth.
Happy third birthday. They said mention it several times.
It
happy third birthday. That's three times.
What does it say?
I Googled Revolt net worth, and it said chingy. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
It just says chingy. What does that mean?
I don't know. Anyway, when we come back, Smokey Robinson will be joining us. So we'll kick it with Smokey Robinson. Wake your grandmamas up.
Ooh, your grandma's so horny now.
Wake your grandmas up. Wake your mamas up. Tell them Smokey Robinson's on a breakfast.
And you pay attention and get educated on Smokey Robinson as well.
Oh, you think your grandma
this
never
is
had sex?
Great history. Mm-hmm. I love it.
All right. Mm-hmm. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Love, Tory Lanez. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest.
Man, a living legend.
Building. A legend.
The original light-skinned heartthrob.
That's right, Doug.
Okay? Smokey Robinson
Smokey
is here.
Smokey Robinson is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're honored to have you here this morning.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
76 years old, my brother. 76 never looked so good, man. What's the secret, man? Water? I know you got a plant-based diet. What else? The combination of all that?
No, I got a new skincare thing.
Okay.
I see my girl.
Yeah, my girl's for the ladies. In fact, you know, there you go.
Oh, hey now.
Oh, Smokey really got a skincare line.
Yeah, yes. It really does.
Okay. Yeah, really, for
Tell
sure.
Tell us about
man.
The product,
And the woman's product is called My Girl, and the men's product is called Get Ready.
Okay.
It's a very simple regimen, man, and it's for people of color. And nothing's ever been done like that before. So people from light like beige, like my brother over there,
oh, hey.
to dark brown, you know. And it covers 80% of the people on Earth, really.
Okay.
Yeah, so it 24/7 is working on your face.
Well, if you use it, I believe it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, if this is what you've been using, I'm on it. Okay, how long have you been using this, Smokey? Mr. Robinson.
Well, we started... No, Smokey, man.
Okay.
Please. Yes, yeah. But it. We've been working on this the last 2 years.
That's cool now, but what you been doing the past 74 years? Okay, before the last two.
I've been living, man. Good time.
I want to thank you. First of all, I took my mom to go see Smokey Robinson last year. Look, we came back and took a picture with you and everything.
Oh,
it was like
baby.
Incredible. My mom.
You don't
like,
remember her mom, Smokey?
Stop it. She still talks about it. She still
what
talks
are you saying?
About it to this
was
day.
That 11 or the dozen? What were you doing?
I'm just saying, you don't remember her? You might
have been one of your things. We met his wife as well.
See, I knew he was going to come in like
that. All right, when my mom see you, she
I can tell by the tone of his voice that he was going there.
Wasn't the right one.
You know, exactly.
But she had the best time. She was so excited. My mom was standing up and singing. You know, I don't do stuff like that with my mom too often, but she was like, can we please go see Smokey? So we made it happen. So thank you. Incredible.
Yeah, Smokey's still, still out there a little freaky on that stage. Yeah.
A little dirty dancing. A little dirty dancing going on.
Doing a little pelvic thrust and everything.
Have you seen the video or something? Did he twerk or did he do a stomach roll? He
was getting down, though.
Yes, I remember that. Now, what do you think about today's artists and today's music?
I think that it's a variety, like it's always been, man. You know, I'm not one of those people who says that, well, you know, there's no good music being made today and rap is negative. You know, I'm not like that, man. You know, I like what I like. And see, I have a really broad musical taste, you might catch me listening to Bach or Beethoven or Nelly
or Nelly.
50 Cent or everybody in between. You know what I mean? I like what I like.
What about 21 Savage or Young Thug? You listening to them?
I'm not really familiar with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what about if one of those artists wanted to do a feature with you, Smokey? Let's say 50 or Nelly called you or 21 Savage and said, hey, I want a Smokey feature. Would you think
about Nelly and I have actually talked about that, man.
Really?
Yeah. You know, so I told him if he comes up with it, I'll do it, of course. Yeah. Because I enjoy his music.
Right.
You know, he's made some music that I really love. So,
getting hot
I'm
in
not,
here.
I'm,
Take
I'm,
off all your clothes.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not one of those people who says, you know, rap is negative and all that. See, we live in a world right now where the negative gets the attention. All day long, we are bombarded by negative stuff. You know, I just think there should be stations, radio and TV stations in every city and town, wherever they have TV and radio, where they got at least two or three stations that give nothing but good news.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, who graduated college.
Who had a baby. Was born, you know? But we're bombarded by negativity, so that's what most people do with the music nowadays. Gravitate to the negative, and they say, oh, well, it's all negative. No, it's not. There's some wonderful music being made, and there's some wonderful young talent out there. And I think show business is in really good hands for the future because there's some wonderful talent out there.
I think when y'all was coming up, it was more focused on love and chivalry and stuff like that. Like,
well, it was, but there's still a lot of love. It's just different censorship now.
Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? Rest is a little different now.
Yeah, you can say a little more than you used to be able to say and get it played. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you telling me you would have wrote a song like These Hoes Ain't Loyal if you could have got it played? Now you wrote My Girl. Now
I don't think I would have wrote that. Okay. But I'll give an example of what I'm talking about because I wrote a song called I Made Love to You 1,000 Times. And it says, I made love to you 1,000 times even if it's only in my mind. Made love to you 1,000 ways for 1,000 nights and 1,000 days. And the cats wouldn't play it. Because they said, Smoke, what do you mean by you made love 1,000 ways? What's that? That was too risque.
A different sexual position. Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right. In my mind, it's masturbation.
Well, that's a self-control thing. You know? No, that would be
I'm saying, when you make love to a girl.
That would be I made love to myself.
When you made love to a girl in your mind, you're thinking about it in your head while you're doing that.
But they would not play it because they said it was too risque.
Wow.
You know? Nowadays, that would be a nerd song.
Now, let's talk about your songwriting. I read somewhere you wrote over 4,000 songs.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
You still want to write now? You still want to write for artists now?
I do. I write all the time. Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Who have you worked with? Anybody recently?
Well, the last person that I worked with was Pharrell. And he was doing a movie. In fact, his movie's out or coming out very shortly, you know. Song that I didn't make it into the movie, but I was working with him, and we're going to do some future work together.
Now, why the hell didn't your song make the movie?
That was his choice. I mean, he recorded 40 people or 30 people for right. the thing, you know.
Who for real think he is to not use a Smokey Robinson song?
Well, he didn't like what he had done.
Oh, gotcha.
He didn't like what he had done. So he told me, he said, I don't like the way this came out.
Gotcha.
So that was it.
You know? And you wrote My Girl for the Temptations.
Yeah, man.
What made you get him that record? That was a huge record. Like, why wouldn't you keep something like that for yourself?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, man, because I don't regret that whatsoever. They were my brothers.
Gotcha.
And I'm very proud and very happy that I got a chance to contribute something positive to their lives and right. to their mm-hmm. career, you know. And so I wrote it for David's voice and for the Temptations to sing. So if it were not for them, I probably would have never written My Girl, man.
My Girl became one of my favorite movies, too, man. When Thomas J. get killed by them bees, Lord, man. I cried so much, right? Yeah. Even to this day.
Do you have to clear every time My Girl is used, commercials? Do you own My Girl?
Yeah, but I don't have to clear it, thank God. Just use it, because I'm going to get paid.
That check coming. That check coming.
You know what I mean? Really? Yeah. Yeah, right. Just use it. I don't have to clear it.
What happened to R&B groups, though? They just gone.
Well, I guess time. You know, the music goes through phases like everything else. You know, so I guess time just, you know, moved that over for a minute.
Did you guys all go to like a gifted school or something? Because it seems like, how is it that this?
Everybody,
I know you and Diana right? Ross lived in the same neighborhood, right?
She lived 4 doors down from me. I've known Diana since she was probably about 7. And
can you imagine?
Lived, she lived 4 doors right, down the street from me. And
it's really like some Outliers type of stuff.
Right.
And Aretha Franklin lived right around the corner.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like y'all knew each other growing up?
Aretha Franklin is my longest friend who is still alive.
Wow.
Yeah, I've known her since I was 8 years old.
Wow.
You know, so, and I've known Diana since she was 8. So,
it's yeah. Something so, in the water? Like, what was it
something
about
in Detroit.
Something was in the water. I believe that in every city, every town, everywhere where you got people gathered, ratio-wise, there's probably that same amount of talent. We had Berry Gordy.
Mm.
So that's what happened with Motown.
All right, we got more with Smokey Robinson when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Kanye West. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee. Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Smokey Robinson is in the building.
Oh, I also wanted to grow up in Detroit. Did you have to fight a lot? Because, you know, we tease this young man right here because of his skin complexion.
I'm light skin. I'm light skin and enhanced.
You know, you got the green eyes. Like, yeah, people call you pretty boy. Did they test you a lot growing up in Detroit?
Well, to tell you the truth, man, yeah, I did fight a lot when I was a kid growing up. But it wasn't about that.
Mm-hmm.
It was about dudes trying to take advantage of me, you know? And so I fought a lot. And then I had some partners, man, that I grew up with, and a couple of them were lighter than you, man.
Lighter than me?
Yeah.
They were white then.
They were white, yeah.
You had some white friends.
So I did too. But anyway, people used to pick on them, you know? So we had a lot of fights. And what broke me up from fighting was when I was about 15 years old, we were playing baseball against some white boys.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened whereas one of the white boys got upset about something and swung on one of our dudes, and we had a bat fight.
Wow.
That was the end of it for me because it was horrible. See, you know, it's changed now because we used to fight. Nowadays, kids just shoot each other, you know, which is atrocious. You know, the gun thing is just insane. But that broke me up from fighting.
How was the police back then, brutality back then?
It was undercover what it is now.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it would have just been overt.
No. It was overt, but I'm saying it wasn't as blatant. We didn't have social media. We didn't have cameras on our phone.
Right.
So nobody saw what was going on. I lived in the hood. I lived in a black neighborhood. All the cops were white. I don't even remember seeing a black cop.
Yeah.
You know? And like I said, nowadays, everything, thank God, is revealed.
Did they treat artists any different? Even though y'all was black, did y'all have like any privilege?
We would go down south, man. We couldn't use the bathroom. They had toilets, men, women, and you go around the back, and it said colored.
Mm.
And like if you were colored, you weren't a man or a woman, because that was just unisex.
Right.
Just colored people use this bathroom. Or it was an outhouse. We even shot at for wanting to go to the bathroom, man. It was deep, man.
And that has to be disheartening to go perform after something like that happens.
Yeah, and you...
Even use the bathroom in the venue, but yeah. I got to get on stage.
You couldn't even stay in the hotels. None of them. We couldn't even stay in the motels. You know, so it was deep, and it was rough. That's why I said the world has made so much progress.
Right.
Because now it's different. I mean, you know, you go to the hotels down south now, and they have black managers.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's
owners sometimes, too.
Absolutely. After the civil rights movement started, and we started doing the sit-ins and all that, we go in a restaurant, and we would sit there for an hour before somebody come over and say, we wish you would leave. Not what do you want, we wish you would leave.
Damn.
And we said, well, we're not gonna leave. Another hour go by, somebody comes and say, well, what you want? And you order what you want, and then when they brought you what it was, you didn't really want to eat it. But it even looked like something that you didn't want to eat. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
But we did it because we're breaking down barriers.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to endure. We've always endured, man. You know, since we first were imported over here. I just finished taping a TV show that's called Who Do You Think You Are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you go and they search your heritage. Yep. And they tell you who you are, you know.
What are you, Smokey? You Native American age.
Oh, you should say that. But at the end, they tell you, because they've taken your DNA and they tell you everything. My dad's side of him, which they didn't do, they just did my mom's side this time. Tried to look up my dad's heritage and stuff like that, because my dad ran away from home when he was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw or talked to anyone in his family from that moment on, okay? 12 years old. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm. What would make you run away from home at 12? Though.
Well, it's a deep story, babe, because my dad, when he was 10 years old, this white man gave him a job delivering newspapers, so he made 50 cents a month, okay?
Yeah.
So when he was 10, he said that this white boy, who was about 15 at the time, would be standing there waiting for him to get his 50 cents. And every time he got it, the boy would take it from him.
Mm.
Give me that money, Nick. And he would take it from him because he was bigger than him. And my dad, like I said, was the youngest. And he had older brothers, but he wouldn't tell them because they do some of this, boy, they're going to get tarred and feathered,
right.
You know. So he wouldn't tell them. So he said one day he saw a pocket knife, one of those Boy Scout knives. Had the can opener and the knife and all that stuff like that for 2 cents. And he bought it. The boy comes up to him when he gets his 50 cents and say, give me that money, Nick. He said, no, I'm not giving you my money. I ain't giving you my money ever again. So the boy said, you going to give me that money. And grabbed him in the collar and started tussling him around. He said he just took his knife out and stabbed him all in the legs.
Mm.
Down there bleeding and crying and stuff like that. And he started running. He was going home. And I don't know how at 12 years old he was even thinking like this. He said he thought, if I go home, they're going to come and probably kill everybody in my family. Mm. So he ran to the railroad tracks. He jumped on a train. That was it.
Wow.
Wow. Where'd he go?
First stop they made, he went to several different cities. The first city he ever settled in, he said when he was 19, was Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow.
You know, but he was just headed north. So he just went, that's where he went. He just
moved around. 12 years old.
He said, 12 years old. He just was fending for himself, you know. And so when they did my heritage, I'm 47% Nigerian.
Wow.
That's what my dad was, 47% Nigerian. I'm 22% Scandinavian. They told me that they discovered that some of my relatives were Vikings. Okay.
Wow.
I am 15% Portuguese, and the rest is Cherokee.
Cherokee. Mm. Yeah, I can see the Cherokee.
So.
And hide your credit cards around Smokey, 47% Nigerian. Now, how did you not grow to hate white people? Like, I always ask people from that era, like, how did you keep that hate out of you?
I attribute that probably to my mom. My mom was a real woman. She would cuss you out in a minute, but she was a church lady. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. By her instilling God into my life was a great asset for me, because I have always known God my entire life. I mean, when I was a little boy, man, I wouldn't do stuff because I thought God was watching me.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, man, I grew up in the hood, man. And I told my kids this when they were growing up. And I tell them, don't ever come to me with peer pressure. You can tell me anything. If you kill somebody, you can come to me, Dad, I killed him, but I killed him because of something. Don't tell me you killed him because Bobby killed him. Mm. I don't want to hear that.
All right.
Do not give me peer pressure, because you growing up in Beverly Hills. So don't tell me that, because I grew up in the hood in Detroit, and some of my partners were gangsters.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And them dudes would come to me and say, hey, man, we're going to go rob the gas station tonight. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
Maybe.
You're right, maybe. Yeah. And I tell him, man, I ain't going with you to rob a gas station, especially you're going to rob a gas station in the corner, because that's Nate's gas station. We know Nate.
Mm.
So I'm not going down to help you do nothing like that. But they love me, and I love them. And I didn't have to do wrong with them for them to love me. So the next day, I would see them. Sometimes they have $15, $20 a piece. And you should have gone with us, man. No, I shouldn't have gone with you, because I didn't want to do that. And sometimes they would be in jail.
Or dead.
When we were little, they'd be in juvenile.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would be dead. I think that God was watching me. I think that about my life. I think that right now. I can't believe my life sometimes. I'm going to thank God for it every day of my life.
Amen. Absolutely.
I'm not going to trip on Smokey Robinson because, see, show business is a life of accolades and pedestals and people giving you praise and stuff all the time like that. If I think I'm bad, if I think I'm the bomb and I play over here somewhere, next week Bruno Mars comes. Mm-hmm. And what I did is mild with the crowds and everything mm-hmm. else, the reaction, everything. You know what I mean? So it comes with the territory.
So you never got the big head even when it was Smokey Robinson and the Miracles.
Hey, man. I wouldn't care if it was Smokey Robinson and Smokey Robinson, like it is now. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to get that because I know the source.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we got more with Smokey Robinson when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Don't play with it. Don't be dishonest.
That was Don't Bryson Tiller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee. Charlamagne Tha God, we are The Breakfast Club. Smokey Robinson is in the building. Now, why did Motown leave Detroit?
Because they said that was part of the reason Detroit went down when Motown left.
Well, you know what? I didn't want to accept that at first, but I agree with that. But we moved because Barry had the idea that he wanted to get off into some other parts of entertainment, not just be a record company. And at the time, Los Angeles was the entertainment capital.
Movies, TV,
all this stuff. Right. So we moved out there, and he started doing movies. Lady Sings the Blues and blah, 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 and we did TV specials and all those things like that. So we had access to all that kind of stuff, and Detroit wasn't like that.
You and Barry were like brothers, right?
We still are.
But
yeah, he's my best friend.
Did that ever affect y'all business-wise?
No. It was an asset, in fact. You know, that's why he started Motown, because nobody was paying us money. We were very blessed and very fortunate to have a music man at the helm. At first, you know, he would produce records on The Miracles and me, and he had a couple of artists, and put them with other record companies, and nobody was paying you, man. Mm-hmm. They paid you if they wanted to. If they didn't want to pay you, they didn't pay you.
Same way now, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, it's gone back to that. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right, man. Very blessed to hook up with a dude like him who was that kind of man from the outset for me.
Just a man of integrity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, how'd you get the nickname Smokey? Because that's usually a nickname reserved for the dark-skinned brothers.
It's because he likes
it. Right,
somebody smoked a cigarette or something.
Yeah.
No, my favorite uncle, my Uncle Claude, he was also my godfather. When I was 3 and 4 years old, I used to love cowboys. And if you asked me what I wanted to be at that age, I was going to tell you I wanted to be a cowboy.
Like Brokeback Mountain?
There was no Brokeback Mountain was not out in, out of the closet at that time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I liked the cats who sang because I always enjoyed music. So he had a cowboy name for me because mm-hmm. he'd take me to see cowboy movies and he called me Smokey Joe. Mm. And if you asked me what my name was, and when I was 3 and 4 years old, I was going to tell you Smokey Joe, because my Uncle Claude said, my name is Smokey Joe.
Okay.
So that's my name. So that's throughout my life, I mean, my teachers, everybody, has always called me Smokey. When I got to be about 12, they dropped the Joe off. I guess it was long and drawn out, you know. So they dropped the Joe off, and I just became Smokey. So now, I've been that all my life.
Now, when Friday came out and Chris Tucker introduced the character Smokey, did you feel like he was stealing your thunder?
No. It was just like keeping my name out there.
So we always see you featured in other artists' movies. Will we ever get a Smokey Robinson movie?
Well, you brought that up. So I will reveal this. There's some guys working on that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we're going to see what happens.
Based on the memoir?
Yeah, based on my life.
That would be awesome. Uh-oh. There's been a lot in Smokey's life that...
My final question is that you watched a lot of legends pass, like you say, a lot of people pass. Do you ever think about your own death and how you want to be remembered and what you want your tributes to be like?
Well, of course I think about that, man. And I think people who don't see, you got to think about your death to set up your legacy and your children and people like that, you know. So if I don't think about my death, I wouldn't have an estate plan. I wouldn't have a will. I wouldn't have any of that. You know? So you got to, it's a morbid thought. You know, I don't want to think about it, but you have to.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think about it, you know, and I've lost some really, really, really good friends, man. And see, when we were growing up together, like Marvin Gaye, you know, Marvin every day, man. And I never thought I'd see Marvin dead. Mm. I mean, I never thought I'd see that, man. I thought Marvin, we'd be 100 walking around together talking about what we used to do. You know what I mean?
Especially the way he went out.
Yeah. You have to think about that while you're living, and you have to think about what you are doing to others.
Absolutely. There you have it. Tell them about the skin cream
one more time.
Smokey Robinson.
Let them tell them about the skin cream one more time. Where they can get the skin cream?
On Skinphonic. That's it's just Skinphonic.
Skinphonic.
Yeah, exactly. Skinphonic.com, and you can find all the information about it, and you can even order it from there right now. We're going to start off commercially in like boutiques and barber and beauty shops and stuff like that, you know, rather than being in department stores and things like that. So, but that's the best place to get it now, and it works. The wonderful thing about it is that it works because I have very ashy skin. And I play golf, and so I'm out in the sun, and I'm traveling around all the time. So I ash up like we do, you know. But it has moisturized my skin, smoothened it out.
Yeah,
you know. So it's it works.
Skinphonic's like a group that would have been signed to Motown.
Right. Let me ask you one more question. My mom is listening. My wife listening. Can we get a maybe four bars of Smokey?
Hey, Shut up.
No, you can't.
What the hell wrong with you? Smokey ain't sang for free since 1927.
No, no, it's not that. It's early in the morning.
Gotcha.
Well, there you have it. It's Smokey Robinson. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, the RZA has responded to Azealia Banks' allegations against him. Basically, that he did not help her at all when she was being attacked by Russell Crowe, and that she doesn't want to sign to his label anymore. Now, normally, we don't hear about RZA responding, and he even said that. He said, peace. Normally, I don't respond to negative social media attacks toward me, yet in this case of Azealia Banks, I'm compelled to respond. Now, he goes on to talk about, in his words, what happened. He said that Azealia was brought to my attention while I was casting for my next film, Coco. I heard the rumors of her problems in the industry, but disregarded them with the rationality, everyone is innocent until proven guilty. So my producer and I fought for her to be in the film, and we succeeded. He said everything ran smoothly during the filming process. That was his only experience with her. It was professional. He said, I had no real experience of her social behavior. Then he said, a few weeks ago, Azealia hit me up for some economic help. I guess she needed some money. And bong, I gave her a helping hand.
He said bong?
Yes.
Okay.
She then followed up asking me to help her get a record deal. I called a friend and bong, a record deal was on the table.
He said bong again?
Yes.
Okay.
The only clause my buddy gave was I be the filter because the word is she is volatile. So he goes on to talk about the deal being in the works, and he said she prematurely went to social media and claimed that she signed a deal with RZA, yet no deal was signed. He said he didn't respond. He didn't want to mess up her hustle. He told her to stay focused. He said he wanted her to win. He said she then hit me for a ticket to L.A. to work, and bong, I comply.
He said bong again?
She then needs a place to stay, and bong, I put her in a hotel.
Jesus Christ.
Bong four times?
What? It's like magic. Okay. Every time he bongs. He said, I returned to L.A. shortly after, and we scheduled a meeting. And then he goes on to talk about Azealia insulting half the room. She becomes loud and obnoxious. There was nothing funny about her behavior. I felt a little embarrassed because she was my guest. Still, verbal abuse can be tolerated, but when it goes physical, Azealia threatened to cut a girl in the face with a glass, then actually grabs a glass and physically attacks for no logical reason. That's when RZA said, Russell blocked the attack and expelled her from the suite. Seeing is believing, and I saw her behave as an obnoxious, erratic individual, and in the circles I frequent, this was unprecedented. I was totally puzzled by her and thought maybe meds or booze or something had zoned her out. Nevertheless, I made sure she got home safe. He said, this is not a race or gender issue. I did not hear Russell call her an N-word. I'm not trying to protect Russell from anything. He's a man of his own caliber. My art, talent, and success speaks for itself, and Azealia's recent slander of me and self-victimization reflects the personality of the person that was in the room that night. I have a wife, daughter, sisters, and females on my staff, so I protect women every day. So.
Yeah, but he was on TMZ Live yesterday, and he did admit that Russell spit at her. That right there is kind of lame. I don't think I could sit around and watch some grown man spit at a young lady. Like, you know, come on.
Well, he's
not putting no blame on Russell Crowe whatsoever.
I don't know. I mean, from the story that he's telling, she was acting crazy and he had to throw out the room and she was threatening to cut people.
So it's okay to spit on a girl if they're acting crazy?
I don't know.
That's all. I mean, you can't have selective morality here. It's okay to spit at a girl as long as she's acting crazy. I just want to be sure and clear about this.
Well, you're cool with Azealia. Did you speak to her? No, you didn't speak to her.
Yes, I have spoken to her.
What did she say?
She's maintained the whole story. She said that Russell Crowe spit at her, called her the N-word, mm-hmm. and she is not denying anything other than that the fact that he spit at her and
so
called her the N-word.
Out. So she's saying he spit on me and she wilded out.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know. She broke a glass and tried to cut somebody with it and did all that stuff.
Who do we believe? Who do we believe?
I mean, it's just all a matter of who you believe, but I mean, RZA did admit that Russell Crowe spit at her. That right there kind of was like, that's when you supposed to check Russell, RZA. In that moment, you supposed to be like, what? Because spit is a different level of disrespect. It's one thing to grab a girl and throw her out the suite because she acting wild, but to spit at her, that's a different level of disrespect, bro.
It sounded like things got a little out of control, and she initiated the out of controlness, though.
So I just want to be like, sure. Is it okay to spit if they're out of control?
Just like you say, Charlamagne, you can't control how a person reacts when you do something like that. I would rather he do that than put his, like, hit her or do something like that.
Nah, I'm not with the spit. That's a different level of disrespect. That's like you're beneath me type.
Why would he spit, like that, though?
That's what I'm saying.
He probably didn't want to do anything worse than that.
But you already had your hands on it. You threw out the room. You spit at it. I don't know. That's a different level of disrespect, man. I'm going to be honest with you. Grown ass.
I can't excuse Azealia Banks' behavior
Not at all. But me being a grown ass man, if I'm watching, especially a white guy spitting to a black girl, that's like,
I don't think it has to do with race, and that's what it
I'm
was.
Just telling you how I would feel if I saw it. If I saw a grown white man spitting at a black girl,
but
like,
I would say this: I know.
I'd have to check him.
As far as RZA, obviously, I worked with Wu-Tang and I know them all very well. And RZA has always been very respectful toward women. And I do feel like even when I worked there, I felt like they were extra respectful toward me, and I never had any issues like that. And if anybody ever tried to do anything crazy to me, they always would interject and step in.
And that's how I feel. He should have interjected. I mean, I don't know if he did or not, but just stand by and watch a man spit at a woman, and not do anything, but tell a girl to leave. Like, he should have checked Russell, too. Like, he's letting Russell off real easy in that statement.
He said he made sure that she got home safely and that she was okay. He did say that. I mean, he did a lot for her. He got her in a movie.
Did any witnesses say anything, though?
All the witnesses were saying that she was acting erratic and that she was...
That still don't justify her getting spit at. Like, I don't know. It sounds like he's trying to protect his relationship with Russell, to me. Personally.
I don't know. It sounds like everybody was wrong in the situation, and Azealia was wrong also.
He don't seem like he's giving Russell no flack for spitting at him.
Yeah, but she's coming at RZA.
I'm going to remember that next
time. She's the one that's coming at RZA.
I guess it's okay to spit at women if they wild out
on you.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. If I ever break a glass, threaten to cut somebody, and go crazy, you can spit on me. There
Jesus
you go.
Jesus Christ.
Because wow. I'm never going to do that.
Spit is a different level of disrespect, man.
Wow. All right, and that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
On a side note, I don't know how to spit. I can't spit.
So you swallow?
You know what? So you always
Round
go too
of applause
far.
To DJ Envy for admitting he swallows this morning.
You always go too far.
Now we know how you got all those calls.
You go too far. Like, how people spit and they can spit across the room or spit. I can't spit. And when I spit, it just drops down on the floor. This personal note.
Beige problems, ladies and gentlemen. Those are waffle color problems, ladies
Snapple
and gentlemen.
Fact. All right, well, thank you for those rumors, Yee. Charlamagne!
Yes.
Who you giving that donk to?
Listen, man, I need a young man from New Brunswick, New Jersey named Jaheim to come to the front of the congregation. Envy, I know you got a crush on Jaheim, Envy.
What are you talking about?
I've heard some things.
You said you like his hair.
I did not. You got a new haircut? You still got the braids, don't you?
I need him to come to the front of the congregation. We like to have a word with him.
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, donkey of the day for Friday, October 21st, goes to the R&B singer known as Jaheim. Can you still call Jaheim an R&B singer?
Yes.
Of course you can. He's still active, okay? You can't front on the brother like he don't have hits. Jaheim had Put That Woman First, Just in Case. He got joints. I mean, Jaheim can pick up 7 to 10 grand a show for the rest of his life in any small town USA. Not you don't think so, Envy? Envy gave you the look.
I don't know about 10.
7?
All right.
5 to 7.
5 to 7.
5 to 7.
No disrespect.
And I know he can get a Tom Joyner boat cruise popping.
Absolutely.
All right. Last record he put out was actually this year. It was a song called Struggle Love. It's actually an I record, okay? It's about being in love when you're going through the struggle, okay? That poor and disenfranchised passion. Let's play a little bit of it.
Let's play a little game. Let's wait until it's raining and kick them all out like a Martin.
Oh.
Let's go to Chinese, blow a few trees, hit a patter on the roof of your apartment.
Okay.
Let's cut it to a flick, put your butt up on my dick, bring your body real close, we spooning. Put a towel on the floor under the door so the nosy ass neighbors don't know what we do. For the record deal, the food cost meals, the stage isn't flashing.
I hear you, Jaheim.
I don't want no struggle love.
You and I, it was for chicken, wings, and rice.
Okay.
And now we got more than we ever dreamed. We got it all, that ain't the way it seems.
Where that struggle love part coming? It's coming.
The richer I get, I really miss that struggle love.
All right, drop one of Clues Bumps for struggle
I
love,
don't miss
right?
The struggle love.
I like that record. I miss the struggle
record
love.
Record kind of dope, talking it about is. How his relationships were before he got money, before he got the record mm-hmm. deal, struggle love. And I am highly amused by Jaheim saying he misses the struggle love because yesterday on social media, Jaheim displayed a hairstyle that looks like someone still going through the struggle. But they came up on a little money, all right? Jaheim has a hairstyle that looks like he just got his tax return back, like he just took the bobby pins out, like he just got his hair laid and he is in bed with the silk bonnet on. If he don't got a silk bonnet on, he slept with his hand on his neck to not let his head touch the pillow. I'm telling you, please go to his Twitter. It's official Jaheim, and look at what this young man has on his head, okay? Jaheim looks like he sat down and got his wig did for the Black Hair Expo. He got a press and curl, but he don't have enough hair for a press and curl. But nevertheless, somebody ran a hot comb through it. I say all the time, you can't really trust a black woman who's never been burned by a hot comb. So it's good to know, Jaheim, that you are a trustworthy individual. Now, the reason Jaheim is getting donkey today is not because of his hairstyle. He's a grown-ass man. He can wear his hair however he wants. Even though I should give him donkey for getting a pressing curl when his hair isn't long enough for a pressing curl. When your hair that short, you can't go chasing pressing curls. You gotta stick to the Holly Berry pixie cuts and Freda Gats finger waves that you used to. Okay? But the reason he is getting donkey today is because all day yesterday, and even right now, I mean right now, since about 6 a.m. this morning, he's been going back and forth with a bunch of people, probably 80% kids, about his hair on social media. Jaheim, you can't win that, bro. You're 38 years old and you're showing your age by going back and forth on social media with all these kids. It's one against millions on social media, and none of your clapbacks are funny, bro. They not gonna make the shade room. Okay, he called one girl Jasmine Sullivan. He called another girl Miss Piggy Ass Face. He told another girl, everything here is fake after posting her picture, top to bottom. Bae got on a new Millennium butt injection costume with space shuttle on her head. F out of here. Trash. Just fart on all Jaheim's jokes. He even released a statement via Instagram. Can we hear what Jaheim had to say via Instagram?
I can't win arguing with stupid ass, ignorant ass mother.
I'm glad you know.
I don't do what I do to please you. I do it for me. I feel good about it. I like it. It's me. Not for you, all right? Worry about what your mother got under her head. Worry about what your girl got under her head. This is my real hair, you know? I can cut this. I can curl it. I can do what the hell I want to do to it. It's mine. It's real. But don't worry about me. Worry about you. You know, I'm working on me. Work on yourself, all right? Job good, baby.
I'm working on me.
Survival of the fittest.
Leave Jaheim alone, man.
Listen, Jaheim, if you know you can't win, then stop. All right, you said all that, but you're still going back and forth with these kids this morning. If you want to wear your hair like that, do you, boo. All right? Do you. It's fine. Please give Jaheim the biggest hee-haw. Oh, no, you know what? I ain't going to give him the biggest hee-haw. He don't deserve the biggest hee-haw. Sing some of the smooth sounds of the Hamiltones for the brother.
You are the donkey of the day. You are the donkey of the day. Hee-haw.
All right. You about to catch Jaheim at all the natural hair expos.
And they had, you had not such a great situation with Jaheim, right? Wasn't there some incident?
With me?
It wasn't with you?
With Jaheim?
Mm-hmm.
Nah, it was with Swaying him. It wasn't with
okay,
me.
I thought it
Jaheim
was.
Do sound like a scorned black woman, though. He sound like a black woman who done been put through it by all types of black men, and now she only want to date white women. White men. Jaheim said, I am working on me. Jaheim, let Jaheim mind his business in New Brunswick. He got his nice natural pressing curl popping. He got salon seated to table playing. He got his coconut oils and his shea butter. Let Jaheim do him, boo.
Let him be great.
Okay.
Man,
is this
please.
The new movement, these hairdos for men?
It's looking like that.
I don't know.
It's kind of a new movement.
Lord have mercy.
Charlamagne kind of jealous because he ain't got no hair.
He can't do it.
He can't do it.
Negro, please.
Right. You know you want a little perm.
You can always get a piece.
Yeah, if I was.
I can have a wig made for you.
Yeah, if I grew up in the Malcolm X era. Only people still wearing conks is Young Jock Jaheim and Terrence Howard.
Goodness all right. gracious. All right, well, thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what y'all want to do next? Y'all want to talk Azalea Banks some more?
I want to do a 50-50
Friday. You want to talk Hov and Kanye?
No, I really don't.
It's
Freaky Friday.
Let's talk about some freaky stuff.
All right. Well, it's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's freaky Friday.
Yeah. All right.
Now, freaky Friday question, we're talking STDs. Let's talk about it,
yeah. What? Yeah, this is not going to make you want to get freaky, but Jim Carrey, this whole situation with his late girlfriend. Now, according to her family, he passed her all kinds of STDs. And she ended up committing suicide. Now, he is denying it on his behalf. But the family is saying that even after getting these STD results, she still continued to have sex with him. It confuses me when people say, well, he gave me this, he gave me that, but then they continue to have sex with the person. Because if I get an STD from you at one time, it's over.
Well, let me ask you the question. 800-585-1051. If someone gave you an STD, would you still continue to sleep with them? But what type of STD?
According to Jim Carrey's these papers, they're saying that he gave her hepatitis A, chlamydia, and oral and genital herpes.
All that's not curable.
Yeah, that's not curable.
All of it is not curable.
First of all, STDs are deal breakers. STD, if you got a woman and you give your woman an STD or you get another woman pregnant, those are absolute deal breakers.
But what if it's dormant? Because STDs can lie dormant in you. You might not even know you have it if you don't have any symptoms.
Why do STDs have dorms?
So it's a possibility that maybe you didn't know you had something and you gave it to someone and oops.
That lie don't fly.
I'm sure it does happen.
I caught this before I got with you, boo. It's been lying dormant in me for 10 years.
Maybe somebody didn't know. Because it might be no signs.
Nah, that ain't gonna fly.
It's true. There's sometimes that you have no signs, and then maybe the first time you have sex with a person unprotected, they get it. Yeah.
800-585-1051. If someone gave you an STD, would you continue to sleep with them? Call us up right now. It's the Breakfast Club.
Or have you?
Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Diddy, I Need a Girl. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're asking, if someone gave you an STD, would you continue sleeping with them? So now the question is, does it matter if it's a curable STD?
That's the new question.
No, I mean, because think about it. Let's say you had a boyfriend. He didn't know he had an STD. It was dormant in his system, and you got it.
As somebody pointed out on Twitter, asymptomatic is what they call it.
Okay.
No symptoms.
So if that happened, would you stay?
Because
he didn't know. It could have been from a girlfriend 10 years ago.
I don't know. See, I've never been in that position. I would have to really research that and find out. I don't know. That's never happened to me. I did have a boyfriend one time, though, that when he, right before he dated me, he had an ex-girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And the ex-girlfriend got mad and then got my phone number and sent me a message saying that he gave her an STD and all this stuff and you should get checked out. But she was still trying to get back together with him.
Oh, so
and I was like,
lying.
Why do you want to be with him if you're telling me that you have an STD?
What did she say?
She didn't respond.
Oh.
STDs are a deal breaker, bro. If you're in a committed relationship, you know, if you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if you got a fiance, if you got a wife, husband, whatever it is, if you give each other STDs, I don't care if they're curable, I don't care if they're incurable, that's a deal breaker.
What if it's in the beginning, like you guys just got together?
Definitely breaking up with you if it's in the beginning.
Because it's not
out.
Like they cheated on you, but they just had no idea.
That's true. Maybe it was dormant in their system, like she said earlier.
Thank God I've never had an STD in my life. I'm not dealing with no dirty vagina for what? I just start dealing with you, and that's the first thing you give me? And we didn't even get to Christmas yet. You ain't even give me a gift, but the first thing you give me is an STD?
Well, that is a gift.
Hell no, I'm out. Especially if you give me something like herpes. What if I don't even like you like that? I just been dating you a month. Now you don't give me something for life. Hell no, I'm
That's
out.
That's true. Hello, who's this?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Now, if someone gave you an STD, would you continue sleeping with them?
Absolutely, most certainly not, man.
Are you sure?
I mean, let me tell you from experience, man. People got to be straight up with you when it comes to this because you're almost committing a crime when you do something like this.
But
man,
what if you don't know you have it?
That's also on your fault.
You said tell us some experience. Have you had an STD before?
Almost. I got scared as hell, man. One time.
You almost?
Actually, like, the one I thought was the cleanest one, the nicest one, you know? She came to me one time after, like, 6 months of not talking to her. And she was like, oh, I got chlamydia. And I think you gave it to me.
Whoa.
I was like, what?
You gave
Never
chlamydia?
In a million years. Like, I know. I, like, Googled the symptoms, whatnot. And my brain tricked me to thinking I actually had it. So I'm thinking, like, what did I do to get chlamydia? Because I know who I sleep with. I know who I'm messing with usually. You know what I'm saying?
Usually.
And then
You said you know usually who you mess with.
Usually, yeah. I mean, 9 out of 10 times, I suppose. And then two weeks later, she hits me up and goes, oh, I got it, and I got it from somebody else. So the first thing that someone does is usually blame the other person, I suppose.
Hello, who's this?
TT.
Hey, TT. Now, if someone gave you an STD, would you continue sleeping with him?
Hell no.
What if it's incurable? Now you both have it. You would break up?
You say if it's curable?
If it's incurable and you both have it now.
Hey, look, first of all, you cheated on me. And you bought an STD home. And I can't get rid of it. Yeah, you got to go.
You got to go.
You got to go.
Bye.
All right.
800-585-1051.
If someone gave you an STD, would you continue sleeping with them? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Beyonce with Hold Up. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we're taking your calls, 800-585-1051. If you slept with someone and they gave you an STD, would you continue sleeping with them is the question.
Especially if they apologized and said, I didn't even know I had this. I'm so sorry. I'll go get tested, too.
Now, let me ask you a question. You have friends that have done that before?
I have two friends that got an STD from their boyfriend and still stayed with them after. Two friends.
What STD?
One of them had trich. I forget how to pronounce the whole thing. I don't know how to pronounce it. And the other one had gonorrhea.
Damn. All right.
And they stayed with him?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
They stayed together after that.
Love yourself, boo. Love yourself enough to know that there's somebody out there with a cleaner penis.
Hello, who's this?
Kitty.
Hey, if you slept with somebody that had an STD, would you continue to sleep with them?
No, because by that point, you can't be trusted. Like, I trust you with my life, even with you, I'm protecting you, and you just put my life in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that. Like, you know, I can catch anything that's uncurable, and that's what, you know, a lot of people this generation don't understand. We y'all still the people who have STDs.
Nobody wants to stay.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, it's Tank.
Hey, man, if you was messing with a chick, she gave you an STD, would you continue to sleep with her?
Man, no, man. I was married to a chick. I was one of the biggest whores you wanted to call in my city, but I never had none. I got married and came back off a road trip, and she had to go.
So that happened to him.
STDs are a deal breaker. I don't even know why we're having this conversation.
Because people have stayed with people.
Yeah, it's got to be worth your while.
Because you know what? STDs are very common, more common than we probably sit here and think about.
But let me ask you a question. Let's say you got an incurable STD, right?
Like herpes?
HIV, AIDS.
So to find somebody else that you can have unprotected sex with would be difficult, correct?
No, it wouldn't. I'm sure they got plenty of HIV, AIDS chat rooms. I'm sure they got herpes chat rooms where you can hook up with other people with those illnesses.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm not staying with nobody who got an STD, okay? It's only one Magic Johnson, all right? Salute the cookie. But everybody else, I'm out because I just feel like that's a deal breaker. Okay. If you get another woman pregnant or you give another woman an STD, those are absolute deal breakers. You can't even expect your woman to stay. You know how sometimes when you know you effed up, you get on your knees and you beg her to stay. Please, baby, I'll do better. You can't even do that in that situation. You know you effed up royally. You got to let her walk.
Well, what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is wear condoms, all right, and do the earwax test. The earwax test is when you dig in your ear, you put a little wax on your finger, and then you stick it up the girl's poom-poom. If she jumps, she got something. If she got something, then you need to fall
please
all the way
Please don't
back.
Do that
Kids
test, because
there, that
if
true.
Somebody sticks their earwax in your vagina, you will have something after that, okay?
First of all, why would you?
You definitely have some type of infection from that nasty, dirty earwax. And if you're dating a guy and he sticks his finger in his ear and all this earwax comes out, you probably don't want to date him either.
First of all, fellas, don't let nobody see you doing the ear. Don't let nobody see you digging in your ear. You can do the earwax test on the low.
That is not true. If
the
you
earwax
do that,
test works,
it does
bro.
Not work.
I've never had an STD in my life.
Know?
It does not work.
I've never had an STD in my life. I've never had nothing.
It does not work.
I never had chlamydia, herpes, crabs, gonorrhea. It is true. It's worked for me.
Oh my goodness.
My penis clean.
Yeah, we got rumors coming up.
Clean.
All right. Yes, we do. We are going to talk about Common. He has a new TV show coming. I'll tell you what that is. Also, Kanye versus Jay-Z. Where did this issue start? We'll tell you all about it.
All right. All that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report. With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Kanye seems to be a little frustrated with certain things. In particular, Jay-Z, who is his big brother. He was performing in Seattle at Key Arena. And he was talking about issues between Tidal Music and Apple Music and why Jay-Z wasn't on songs and just why there's not going to be a Watch the Throne 2. He also talks about the fact that Jay-Z didn't come and see him personally when Kim Kardashian was robbed. Check it out.
Call me at
after the robbery, you say, how you feeling? You want to know how I'm feeling? Come by the house. Like your brothers. Let's sit down. Next one.
I mean, I don't know what more Kanye wants. He called Kanye. I mean, damn, I truly feel sorry for what happened to Kanye's wife and wouldn't wish that on nobody. But do you? What you want, Jay, to bring you some soup? You want him to bring you some flowers?
I mean, I get it, but that's not the place to say that. You call him and say, y'all, I would appreciate it if you came by, bro.
I agree with that. Friends don't air friends out publicly. Same way mm-hmm. you wanted Jay to come by your crib. If you had an issue, you could have called him and told him that.
Right, and he had an issue because Jay-Z wouldn't get on the song Pop Style on Drake's album out of respect for Meek Mill. He kind of can't. I mean... I understand. I don't think that's a bad thing. He's respecting Meek Mill.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was an Apple title thing.
But he was still on Pop Style. Whether it was two lines, it still said featuring Jay-Z. What's the difference? I don't. It makes no sense to me.
I don't look at that as the wrong move to make. All right. Chance the Rapper just put out a new video. How great. And that video features his cousin Nicole and Jay Electronica. And he shot the whole thing on his iPhone.
So, I like that record. Tough tune off Coloring Book.
Yeah, off Coloring Book. A great inspirational song. So anyway, I just thought you guys might want to know that that song is out. And the video is out with the iPhone. I haven't seen anybody make a whole music video on their iPhone yet.
They say you can. I haven't seen it really. But
drop on a clue bomb for Chance the Rapper. I'm so glad I started to listen to Chance the Rapper because it was a point in my life I never listened to no Chance the Rapper music. I
remember the first time he came up here.
He had that CD called Acid Rap, and I was like, I do not want to hear about another fiend glorifying drug use, but he is not that at all.
He's dope.
All right, Common has a new TV show coming. It's a hip-hop comedy sitcom. It's called 93 Till Infinity. So he's going to executive produce the show, and it's kind of an idea of a rapper from the 90s struggling in present day trying to figure out the next chapter of his life. He's going to reconnect with his best friend from middle school.
That's a good show.
Who's struggling with family and real responsibilities, and he's also desperate for a midlife reboot.
Drop one of Clues bombs for Common. I love when I see brothers with that executive producer.
And 93 Till Infinity, that was, what group was that?
Souls of Mischief.
That's right. So that's based off of that Souls of Mischief album. All right. And last but not least, I saw that some people feel like Jaheim is directing some fire toward The Breakfast Club, toward Charlamagne, maybe for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day was trending, too. Drop on the Clues bombs for Donkey of the Day trending this morning.
So was Smokey Robinson.
Smokey Robinson was trending. And it's so funny because people thought he was dead. No, I'm serious. If you go look at the tweets, it's a combination of, is Smokey dead? And, oh, I really enjoy Smokey on The Breakfast Club. Really? So, yes.
So what did he say? What did Johnny say?
Well, he posted a selfie and he said, when I see you face to face, it's on sight, bro. I'm not calling no names. And whoever with you can get it. I smack jockeys and KO vaginas that come at me in direct facts. Nothing or no one can save you. I'm going to beat you to color purple. I'm going to come to your workplace. You have to see me.
Damn.
You've been chosen to put these healing gloves on that ass, big mouth chump. You're going to learn today. Hashtag struggle love.
All right. So I'm assuming he's going to do all of that in a white do-rag because I know he's not going to do that with that press and curl just flourishing the way it is presently. Okay?
Leave Jaheim alone.
Jaheim's a tough cookie, man. I mean, yo, he done got burned with that hot comb. Once you got burned with that hot comb, you don't feel no pressure in life. That's why black women are so strong. Black women are so strong because they used to get burned with hot combs when they was younger. When you get burned with that hot comb, nothing can really faze you in life, okay? Drop one of Clues bombs for all the women out there who have been burned with the hot comb, all right? You're not officially a black woman if you haven't been burned with a hot comb.
I hate you.
All right?
All right.
God bless you,
Jaheim. This is crazy. All right, well, hopefully we can squash this.
Shut up, ye. It's a long line that Jaheim has to get in, okay, to slap me. That line is long.
Imagine if they had a who wants to slap Charlamagne line at a carnival. We would make so much money.
That line is going to charity.
$100.
Yeah.
Come up here, you get to smack Charlamagne.
Now you need a little more than 100.
I mean,
at least 1,000. It's going to a good cause.
What cause would we give this to?
95% of all people that want to slap me were red hot in the early 2000s, late 90s, musically.
Good smack.
Yeah.
What would this charity be for? Are we going to work this?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
Good idea, Yee.
All right. All right. When that white man in the suit pops somebody, don't hashtag the person's name. Okay?
All right, man. People's Choice mixes up next. You want to hear something? 800-585-1051 or at Breakfast Club. Shout out to Revolt TV. We'll see you guys on Monday. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello! Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.